TV.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new week of Broadcast Excellence. This is Martin Zender. I'm your host. It's great to have you here. I apologize for those of you who realized that this didn't happen. I apologize that there was no Rodney Parris Martin Zender special on Sunday. What we've been doing for almost 2 years now, of course, is Rodney takes an old audio recording of mine, many of them 25 years ago on cassette tapes, and he digitizes them and puts them to video, and boom, the truth comes alive again a quarter of a century later. Well, and then lately, Rodney has taken one of my earliest shows, audio recordings from 2002 to 2006 called Zender Talk, and I think we just ran over 100 shows of that. And so we ran out of that material, but oh yes, don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, there's more material. I've been talking lately about the book of Hebrews. It is one of my favorite books. Besides, I mean, it's not a body of Christ letter. It's written to, obviously, the Hebrews, but it was written by Paul. Now, there's some controversy about this because there's no name on the letter. But there's a reason for that. This letter is so important and so interesting to me. It is written to explain to the first century believers why the kingdom didn't come. Boy, the preterists, for you poor people out there who are still preterists, okay, I'm going to help you here. I really feel bad for you because you have to do some real gymnastics in the book of Revelation. You have to make it all allegorical, all metaphorical. Nothing is literal. Although I don't know what like 144,000 would be metaphoric for. Does, when God says 144,000, does he really mean like 119,000? When he says locusts for 5 months, is that a metaphor for like 3 months of mosquitoes? I mean, you know, we all have to count on you for how you interpret Revelation. Or there's an alternative. It's literal. It's literal. So for you folks, allowing for figures of speech, for you folks, Hebrews is a very important letter to understand because it explains the gap. It explains that a new era has come. And it would be a comfort to the Hebrews to know that it was God, it is God who's adjusting the time periods. This show today is about time periods. It is about us waiting for the end of this era, for immortality. And Hebrews was written for those who were humanly disappointed, including the 12 apostles. I mean, the Messiah was on the earth in fulfillment of prophecy that Israel had been waiting for hundreds of years. And then, no kingdom? You got to be kidding me. Is this some kind of a cruel joke? Seems like it. But in fact, there was an unprophesied time period that was going to be interjected between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. And this would be known as the era of the nations. Paul's name in the Greek means pause. And this intervening 2,000 years has been a pause. And what I'm going to tell you today is that 2,000 years is an obscene amount of time that would have shocked the sensibilities of Paul and any believer of the first century. And anybody who today thinks that 2,000 years is not enough, we still have a lot of time to go. Shut up. 2,000 years is not enough for you? This is one of the most outrageous time periods in the scripture. It is overdue. I speak as a man. Of course, it's not literally overdue. It'll be exactly on time. But from the human perspective, it is way overdue. This is a stupid amount of time. All right, I'm going to get back to that. I should just stay on that roll, but I'm afraid that I'm so fired up now. If I don't wind it back a little bit, I won't have enough room to the end of the video to get fired up again, because I am going to. So beginning next Sunday. And if you're not signed up at martinzenter.com, why? But it's not too late. You can sign up now. There's a link at the bottom of this video. Go to martinzenter.com. Sign up. If you notice on my homepage, down on the right-hand side, you may have to scroll down a little bit if your screen's 2 inches by 5 inches. I don't know. You'll see a sign up for my newsletter. No, for a new, what is it? For email. You get on the email list and we let you know what's going on. For instance, if God forbid I ever get chucked off of this platform, then you'll find out where you can reach me and where my shows will be aired. It will be on rumble.com, by the way, just in case. But, so sign up and then you'll be notified, for instance, of the weekend videos. Some of you may not know. I know it's very depressing for you on Friday and for me too, because, oh God, I've got to go 2 days without a show. But you don't have to worry, because on Saturday we publish a classic from the archives. Got 3,500 classic. Well, they're not all classics. Well, there's quite a few classics among them. So we publish one every Saturday. And Sundays, even better. You get one of these old audios that originally had no video, and Rodney Paris works magic with it. And what's going to start happening on Sunday, next Sunday, is I did in 2013, I think it was, I did maybe like a 100-part series, audio series only. I didn't know about video. I didn't think to turn on a camera until 2014. I thought, wait a minute, if I'm going to be talking, I could just turn on a camera. I might as well record myself talking on video, so maybe people would be interested in watching me do this. But anyway, I started a series on the book of Hebrews. Exhaustive commentary on the book of Hebrews. Very important. You will get an understanding of God's Aeonian purpose, a better understanding, by reading what the Apostle Paul, and I believe it's Paul, I explained to you in the series, I don't want to spend time doing it here, why Paul wrote that letter and why he didn't put his name to it. So all the preterists need to read Hebrews, and they also need to read the 11th chapter of Romans. It explains to them that this ignorance, this hardness, this callousness on Israel has come only until the fullness of the nations may be entering. It's temporary. The preterists think it's, are you ready for this? I can hardly utter it. Permanent. They think Israel being cast out is permanent. Israel's never coming back. The body of Christ are spiritual Israelites. This is called replacement theology. There is no coming trauma. There is no tribulation. All happened in 70 AD. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are now living on the new earth, where every tear is wiped away. The new Jerusalem is on the earth right now, where God is dwelling with humanity. Have you not noticed? There's no more death. Have you not noticed? All evildoers have been segregated to the lake of fire. Have you not noticed? As I like to say, if this is the new earth, I want a refund. No, this is not the new earth. It's all future. Oh, Martin Zenter's a futurist. You're damn right I am. In this case, I'm a near futurist. But if you would have told Paul that this era of the nations that began with this pause in God's operations with Israel, if you would have told him that it would be 2,000 years, I think any believer back then would have been completely shocked. I think that this pause probably reasonably could have possibly been expected to have been maybe 30, 40, 50 years. God's going to spend time doing something different, calling out a new people from among the nations, giving them a new gospel. I mean, 70 years is long enough. I'm thinking off the top of my head, and the most that people told they would have to wait would be like 70 years. And that was the time that they would be in captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah 25, verse 8. Therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, because you do not hearken to my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, averring is Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land, against its dwellers, and against all these nations round about. I will doom them. God, that sounds nasty. And make them a desolation and a hissing and an Aeonian waste. I will destroy from them the sound of elation and the sound of rejoicing, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And I'm sorry I included all this context because this is extremely depressing. All this land will become a waste, a desolation, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Oh, whew. When those people heard this prophecy from Jeremiah, 70 years, it sounded like a hell of a long time. Then when 70 years are fulfilled, I'm in verse 12, I shall check the king of Babylon and that nation of Ur, Yahweh, and the land of the Chaldeans for their depravity. I will change it into Aeonian desolation. So he's going to take the people who took the people and bring them the disciplines that he had given to his people via them. But 70 years is my point, and that would have seemed like a long time. 70 years. Oh my God, a long time. And again, I say, for the people in the first century who saw the Messiah walk the earth, saw him fulfill prophecy, and heard John the Baptist say, near is the kingdom of the heavens. Heard Jesus himself say, near is the kingdom of the heavens. And to have that kingdom whisked away from them, and to see a new kid in town, the Apostle Paul, whose name means pause, who was given a new administration, and to read all about it in the book of Hebrews. If you had thought 70 years, maybe this thing will go 70 years, God made us wait that long before when he took us into Babylon, so we're just going to make the best of things, which is what Paul tells them to do in Hebrews, and then we'll be back on track after 70 years. My God. This is the human expectation. Let me go to one more example. And I'm going to bring this home to you in a way that is going to encourage you about the times we are living in today. Of course, after our forefather and foremother sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said to our foremother, I shall set enmity between you and the woman. He's speaking to the serpent, I'm sorry, at this time. I shall set enmity between you and the woman. This is why women are afraid of snakes. No, I'm not even kidding. This is why. This is why the reason the Arabs and the Israelites are at odds fighting is because Isaac and Ishmael, the two brothers, same father, different mothers, but they're fighting today. Of course, Donald Trump's changing all of that as I speak. So there's a practical reason. I shall set enmity between you and the woman. Any woman who likes snakes is weird. I'm sorry. If you're one of them, don't take it personally. I would not tell you that to your face, but I would think it. I would think it. When I was working at a hospital, there was a woman there she didn't collect them, but she had a pet tarantula. This was extremely disturbing to me. And I know women who have pet snakes. Why? They have to overcome this divine decree. I shall set enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He, that is her seed, shall hurt you in the head. This was a prophecy that her seed will hurt you in the head. You shall hurt him in the heel. At this time, our forefather and foremother would have been very upset at the serpent for deceiving them into partaking of the forbidden fruit. This is all literal, by the way. It's all literal. Anybody who thinks it's not literal, I'm sorry. I just don't have the faith to believe in evolution. Okay, I don't. That's outrageous. I shall set enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. So she's thinking that her seed is going to solve the problem. Obviously, they're in a big problem. They sinned. this thing called mortality has come coursing through their veins. Things have obviously changed. They got to wear these leather garments, although I suppose Eve looked terrific, absolutely terrific in her leather garment. I'm sure God designed it in a way that would complement her. Well, never mind. I just think. But humans being the way they are, Eve is thinking, my seed will solve the problem. So then we go to the beginning of chapter 4. Now the human knew Eve, his wife. Huh? That's scripture talk for, you know, chaka chaka. She became pregnant and gave birth to Cain, saying, I've acquired a man through Yahweh. Like, and I think in her mind, she's thinking, here's the seed. God's going to take care of the problem. Oh, that was just a minor inconvenience. 9 months. 9 months later, God solves the problem. This is how humans think. And so, to know for a fact that 2,000 years has passed since Paul's prophecy of our snatching away, and some people think, well, how dare we think that this is the last days? How dare we think? How dare we think? Eve thought the curse was going to last 9 months. The Hebrews who saw the kingdom recede into an indeterminate time in the future thought maybe 7 years, 70 at the most. Some of them still thought they were hanging on. We're going to remain alive. We're going to remain alive. Some of those Hebrews. We're going to see this time of the nations through. We're going to hold fast to our expectation. Yes, yeah, some of us will die having not received the promises like the heroes of faith, but others of us of a more robust constitution who take care of ourselves, eat raw vegetables, jog regularly, drink plenty of water from the pool of Siloam. We're going to live to see this second return of Christ, this return of Christ. We're going to live to see it. That's how humans think. So it is not outrageous to expect Christ to come now. What is outrageous is to say that it's outrageous to expect it. The scoffers are outrageous who mock us. You know the names. You know the chief name. I'm sorry. I said I wouldn't do this in a while, but the most high-profile teacher in the body of Christ who thinks that every member of the body of Christ must die, who thinks that the second coming of Christ is 500 years away, and so is our snatching away, by the way. It's Clyde Pilkington. But I don't want you to be gaslit. I don't want you to think you're crazy. Maybe that's the main thing here. You are not crazy for thinking that these are the end times, because 2,000 years is ridiculous. It's outrageous. It's a huge period of time as far as God, even as God measures time. It's a lot. But some of you are being gaslit. Some of you are being tricked into thinking that you're crazy for thinking that these are the times and that we are perched on the brink. But when we see what's happening on the political stage, with Trump in the Middle East and this peace deal and the technology available for the mark of the beast, and how can we see these? I mean, what more do you want to see as far as the West, the monstrous of the West, taking the power and bringing peace and being so near a peace treaty? And the talk of world peace, world prosperity. Of course, it's all going to be false. I mean, it's going to be real, but it's not going to be Christ-based. It's going to be man-based. accomplished, and yet God's going to be behind it. No, Martin, the Antichrist is behind it. All right, yes, but behind the Antichrist is God. So we see all these things happening on the world stage. Of course something's about to happen. You're not crazy. They're crazy. The scoffers are crazy. How can anybody realize the passage of 2,000 years and say, "Man, it's not enough time. No, it can't be. This can't be the last days." Why can't they be? Oh, because every single generation from that time to this has thought that their day was the last day. Well, one of these generations is going to be right, aren't they? One of these generations is going to be right, yes? I don't think they'll even give us that. I shouldn't publish what I'm going to publish right now, but it's online. I found it. I found this. I didn't make this. I found it. I found one of those shorts. You know those YouTube shorts? You know, you go flip through those things. They're addictive like potato chips. You can't watch just one. One from Clyde came up. I didn't make this. It was called The Slow Process of Understanding. And I watched this. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And this looks recent. I think this is recent. And I asked myself, is this based on some of the videos I've been making, showing you the fallacy of the Acts 28 position, the fallacy of the premillennial kingdom, the fallacy of everyone in the body of Christ must die, the fallacy of family life being the epitome of spirituality, the fallacy that a man's primary ministry is his wife and not his work. I mean, because what my friend Clyde Pilkington says in this video, he says, quote, "I've been horribly wrong about things in the past. I've been horribly wrong about things." And then he says, "And I still am. I just don't know what those things are yet." I mean, if you're counting on someone to take you into the right scriptures, I mean, true, you're going to check on those scriptures yourself, but some people don't. If you heard your teacher say, "I've been terribly wrong about things in the past, and I'm still terribly wrong about things." No, I'm sorry, the quote was "horribly wrong." "I've been horribly wrong about things, and I still am." That's a quote. I'm going to play it for you, then I'm going to end the show. I mean, some people might say, "Well, that's very honest." Yeah, it is very honest. But, yeah, it's honest. You'd never hear me say that. Never. I'm not saying I'm infallible. I'm just saying that I'm not horribly wrong about anything. I might miss a detail here or there. I might be off a little bit, but the teachings you hear from me are founded on the Word of God. And I show you almost every show, scripture verses show up on the screen, and I read the scripture verses. We did that for 2 weeks. We were in Ezekiel. How can I read Ezekiel and say, "Well, I'm could be horribly wrong about this"? Why are you watching me if you think I'm horribly wrong? Or if I would sit here and say, "I still am horribly wrong about things. I just don't know what they are yet." I'm just wondering if that's a good thing for a teacher to say. And it wouldn't instill me with any kind of confidence in that person. But I wonder if this comes on the heels of second guessing some of these wacky teachings. Half of Paul's letters aren't for us. Every member of the body of Christ must die with dubious evidence. No evidence, really. Just almost laughable evidence. Not almost, hilarious evidence. I'm sorry. I am sorry to have to say this. But I'm going to play the video. And as I watch this, I love this man. But what an admission from a teacher. And it's not that we're all fallible. No, of course we're all fallible. We're all human beings, of course. But to say that I was horribly wrong about things in the past. Okay, I can say that too. Of course, we were all horribly wrong about things in the past. Clyde admits that in this short 20-second thing I'm going to show you before I check out today. We've all been horribly wrong. But then to say, and I still am, that's the part that I couldn't believe it. I had to watch it 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, not exaggerating. Am I hearing this right? Is this what he's actually saying? And I still am. I just don't know what these things are yet. And yet I've been laboring to try to help Clyde see what they are. Yet you are horribly wrong about several big things. And I've been trying to tell you what they are. Not that I'm right about everything. I'm not right about everything. But the things I'm talking to you about, things I've been teaching for 33 years, I'm not horribly wrong. I may be off a little bit here and a little bit there. But if I thought I was horribly wrong, I would say, don't bother watching this show. Why would I encourage anyone? Aren't we supposed to be experts? Aren't we supposed to be studied? Aren't we supposed to be men who have spent years and years and years in the scriptures? Aren't we those who have been tested and tried and learned from our past mistakes and found the laws of scriptural interpretation and the laws of language and applied them, given all our strength and power to it? And I know Clyde has done this, but then to say, I'm still horribly wrong. That, to those of you who have been gaslit by that ministry, thinking maybe we are crazy, maybe it is 500 years away, maybe Clyde's right, we're all going to die. For any of you who have been gaslit and thought you were the crazy one, let this video be a comfort to you.
And you know what? This is all about a slow process. So day by day, they would examine. And what were they examining to see? To see if Paul and Silas had it right. And you know what? I teach some things that are wrong. I'm always the first person to tell you that. And one reason, well, there's a couple reasons I know that's true. First of all, I know I'm not infallible, and no man is. So then that means if I teach, then there has to be an element of fallibility involved. But also my history tells me that I've been horribly wrong about things, and I still am. I just don't know what they are yet.